Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
And on this first Sunday of the new year, can I still say Happy New Year?
Happy New Year.
And here we go. And to remind us, I'm catching up with myself here. So first, a prayer concern, a prayer item for us. Margaret Dykstra's brother, Garrett, Vicki Dykstra's brother-in-law, Garrett, passed this last week, and his service is next Friday. So remember this family in prayer this week. As we move into the new year, I remind you of the prayer card that we initiated last week and the prayer that I will be praying for you, for us, and from Ephesians 1. So I hope you'll keep this handy. There's some on the table in the back as well. And on the other side of it, appropriate to this morning's sermon, is scripture reading that we'll be doing as we read through the New Testament this year, and then also some alternate ways of doing that, including downloading this YouVersion Bible app, and you can read it there, or you can listen to it as you're driving, going to work, that sort of thing. So hope that this will be a handy reference for you and your family as we read and pray our way through this new year. And a couple of personal notes. First of all, we put our son Reed and Janaea on the plane back to Catalina Island on Wednesday, and on Thursday, the pastor of their church, 33 years, passed away following a scooter accident on the island. And so Fame and I saw a part of the service this morning. They worship at 9:30. Powerful letter written by the widow. And the concluding hymn was, "It is well with my soul." But I just think of Reed's one of four elders in the church. And so that's got some real challenges for them. So cover your prayers for that. And then for myself, the council gives pastors a week of study leave each year. I haven't really taken any since COVID. And so these next 2 weeks are going to be a study leave week, preparing sermons and preparing for the new year, and that sort of thing. So would really appreciate your prayers that that will be fruitful, that it will be effective, that it will be profitable and free from spiritual attack. The enemy doesn't like this sort of thing. So I will be leading the worship services the next 2 weeks, but not preaching. So that's what's happening. We take off tomorrow, so, but we won't be far away. All right. Well, are we ready to worship the living God? I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in this new year through the knowledge of God and of the power and presence of his Holy Spirit as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you. God will go before us. The Lord of hosts is with us. Oh, praise the one who leads us on, for his grace will bring us home. Through unknown paths, through shadows, our hearts fear not tomorrow. For every step his faithfulness is the truth that lights our way. Our God will go before us. The Lord of hosts is with us. Oh, praise the one who leads us on, for his grace will bring us home. Though evil forms against us, all heaven will defend us. The gates of hell shall not prevail, for the battle is the Lord's. Our God will go before us. The Lord of hosts is with us. Oh, praise the one who leads us on, for his grace will bring us home.
One of the healthiest things that we do as a church every week is to confess our sins before God, to come clean, to come to him for our cure, for our forgiveness, to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And so, as we begin this year together, I call us to confession. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation, as he takes away the wrath, he takes away the curse, he bears that all for us. I invite us now to make confession in silence, and then as I lead us as a church family. Let's pray. Holy Father, as we stand on the threshold of another new year, we think about how we would like this year to be different and what we would like to do differently and how we would like to be better. And yet, in spite of all of our efforts, we are face to face with the reality of our ongoing sin. We've been tempted and stumbled and fallen. We've missed the mark and fallen short of your glory. And so, Father, we ask that you would forgive us, for indeed we have greatly sinned against you. And most of all, we've not loved you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And we've not loved each other even as we love ourselves. So forgive us, show us where we need to forgive one another. Lord, we want to live in the light of your love, and we want to reflect that love to one another. So make us to be a people who delight in your truth and who live it. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and we all say, Amen. We will sing of our assurance.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name is, what a beautiful name is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Our sin was great, your love was great. What could
pray with me. Dear Lord, we come to you so abundantly blessed. We thank you for all the many things you've given us. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our church. And as we send our kids back to school after this extended break, we thank you for our schools. We thank you for our Christian schools around here that put you in the center of all things that they teach and do. And we ask that this offering taken for tuition assistance goes to bless those who have any stress or anything that is brought on by tuition. We ask that it bless them and that your will be done through all of it. In your name, amen.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. Last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place.
Please join me for congregational prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, for you are the one and only sovereign God, creator and sustainer of all life. You so generously give us our daily bread day after day, and we thank you for all the love and grace you show to us, for the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his wonderful name we come this morning confessing our sins and asking that you forgive us all our iniquities. We thank you for this, the greatest of all gifts to us and to all those who call him Lord. Truly, we can sing this morning with a grateful heart, how great thou art. Lord, as we face a new year, may we look to you for our hope, our peace, and our comfort. May we not despair in the fears of this world and all the uncertainties, but rather may we seek to gain wisdom and understanding by studying your word, being devoted in prayer, and may we walk in your way and make choices according to your will. May we have a strong conviction of who holds tomorrow and seek first your kingdom. Lord, bless us again this new year as you have done so richly in the past. Bless this congregation and its outreach. Bless the messages brought to us each week. Would you bless all the opportunities before us to participate in the Bible studies? May we build up one another in our faith and understanding, dedicating ourselves to prayer. We pray for our Sunday school catechism classes. We pray for all of our youth programs and our leaders who faithfully lead them, equip them for the tasks they have for training and instructing our young people. We pray especially now for Pastor Robert. We pray for our elders and deacons, for our staff, and those who teach and instruct others. Lord, lead and guide them in the truth as decisions are made and your word is taught. We pray for our elderly and the shut-ins. May your hand be upon them through all their needs, through the lonely times and their dependence on others. Bless them with the gift of prayer so that they, even in their weakness, may use the power of prayer for themselves and to intercede for others. We pray for those needing healing. We pray for John Mead and Marcia Miller and Christy Neuendorf. We ask that you walk with them through all the struggles they face. May your love and grace be a source of strength for them. Bless those who are providing care for them as well. Lord, there are others who have needs known but to you, and we ask that you answer the prayers they bring before you. Bring healing where there is brokenness and reconciliation where there is division. Bring comfort, we pray, for those who have lost loved ones. So we pray for the Dykstra family in the passing of Garrett. We pray for the Zylstra family in the passing of Alan Nern. Lord, would you remember Carol, especially in her needs, in the days ahead? Lord, would you guide us as we seek to hire for the associate pastor position? We ask for your blessing on the search process so that in due time, a man of your choosing would be found to work among this congregation. Lord, this year we are looking at plans to also to build into our facility. There also we seek your will for us. May the plans be in accordance with your will for the future of our church. Father, we live in tumultuous times, and these times have a great impact on our youth as we see the many ways evil attempts to distract them from your word. Lord, may they be filled with wisdom to know the difference between what is good and what is evil. Give them a heart to discern the truth. Father, may we as all, parents, grandparents, school teachers, youth leaders, be able to discern what is good and what is evil and what is truth, and grant us the ability to lead and teach accordingly. Lord, we pray for those in authority over us. We pray for our nation in this election year. There seems to be so much anger, discontent, and untruth seem to control so much of what we see and hear in our country and in the world. We ask that people would be able to discuss issues truthfully with respect for one another. We pray our leaders will seek godly counsel for the many issues that we face. Father, we know that you are in control of all things, small and great, and for this we thank you. May we not be fearful for tomorrow and worry, but rely on you, Sovereign Lord. We need you. Our community needs you. Our nation and the world need you. We pray for a revival in our land that would have many people turning back to you as Lord of all. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, would you bless our missionaries who serve in the many parts of the world? Grant them safety and a blessing on their efforts as they witness to a broken world. We pray your word would reach to many living in the darkness. We pray for the house of people that workers would be found to minister to them. We also want to pray for endurance for the persecuted church. We pray for the church in Nigeria, where recently many again were killed for being Christian. Place a hedge of protection around your church worldwide, especially Middle East, Africa, India, Syria, and China, North Korea, and so many other countries where Christians are being persecuted for their faith. We pray their witness will lead others to you. We pray for a world that has so much unrest, open hostility, and war. Lord, would you bring peace to these parts of the world, especially in Ukraine and in Israel? Work in the hearts of men to seek peace. Bring relief to those so tragically affected by war, especially those loved ones, and the devastation war brings on the innocent. Lord, would you guide our men and women in the armed forces? We pray that we will not get involved in all these wars. Bless them physically and spiritually in these times. Lord, we also want to bring before you our community in Bellingham, where we see the tragic results of addiction and homelessness and the opiate crisis. We pray for those giving aid, the first responders, police, Lighthouse Mission, and all those seeking answers and giving aid to them. We know the true answer is found in you. May many come to see that in the days ahead. Lord, may we remember and live these words from Philippians in the new year. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.
Receive the food of your holy word.
Give your attention now to the reading of God's Word from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And I remind you that this is the eternally true, trustworthy, faithful, inerrant Word of the living God. He speaks to us this morning. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they, meaning Joseph and Mary, brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pray with me, please. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and reflections of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And this we ask in the name of our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Do you ever give much thought to your soul? Think about your soul. Do you ever think about how different you are from all the rest of creation around you, that you are a living, eternal soul? Have you ever considered how eternally valuable your soul is? There's two ways that you can know how valuable your soul is. First, because Satan relentlessly, tirelessly pursues to destroy your soul forever. The second way you can know how valuable your soul is because the Son of God came down to earth to lay down his life to save your soul for eternal life in heaven. The eternal weight and value of your soul. Think about the things that take your attention, that take your time, that consume your attention in life, things that consume your thoughts and your interests, Think about this in the light of a new year that's before us. Think about this in the light of our text this morning. When heaven came down and invaded our history and engaged the enemy on enemy territory. The battle is on. This text stands at the very threshold of history, not just a changing of a year like we are right now, but the changing from BC to AD, from the old covenant to the new covenant. This central point in all of history. The salvation of God that is for all peoples, for every living soul, has come. The consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem, the Savior of our sins has come. So let's look at this text and the lives of these very first people who were touched by this reality, who encountered this new reality. First Joseph and Mary, and then Simeon and Anna. On the eighth day after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary took their son from Bethlehem, and they went up to Jerusalem. They went to the temple to have Jesus circumcised according to the law of Moses, and they gave him the name Jesus according to the word of the Lord that had been spoken to them by the angel of the Lord. And then on the 40th day, after the time of purification had passed, according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary again took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord, because it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And while they were there, they sacrificed in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Actually, the law says that you are to sacrifice a lamb. But in the tender mercy of God and how he knows us and how he cares for us, he makes provision in the law for those who are poor, that they may sacrifice a pair of doves. This young couple, this poor couple, newly married, just had a baby. They don't have a clue what is ahead for them. But this much they know. They know the word of God, and they have set their hearts on obeying God's word, and they did what God told them to do. Now let me pause right there and ask you, do you think it was easy for them to obey God? To obey God's word. They're away from home. They're just had a baby. They're in challenging circumstances. Let me tell you, it's always hard to obey. Our sin nature makes it that way. I know you young people here, you teenagers here, may be thinking that it's hard to obey, but I have news for you. It doesn't get easier when you're older. It's always hard. And we all have excuses, and we all have our reasons for saying that what God says is too hard, or that, well, it's old-fashioned, or, you know, we just don't do that sort of thing now. Mary and Joseph, they didn't despise the things of God. They didn't dismiss the old things of God, the things spoken way back in the law of Moses. How long ago was that? 1,500 years before this? They didn't despise going to the temple. They didn't despise going to church, to sacrificing, to keeping God's laws, to doing what God required. They were humble and they were godly. And they feared the Lord, and they loved his word. When you face an uncertain future, the best path forward is always in the word of the Lord. They knew the scriptures and wanted to live by it, and so they ordered their days, and they ordered their ways by what God said. And this one wise old soul once said, The one thing harder than following God is wishing you had. If you don't know the scriptures, you will become fragile. You'll become weak. You'll be in danger of being easily deceived. You'll become anxious and fearful and much more quickly. It will not go well with you. Think about that. If it's not going well with your life, the first place to look, the first place to check is, are you doing what God says? As Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. This is the path of life. God speaks, we listen. God leads, we follow. God commands, and we obey. Mary and Joseph followed this path, and they were richly rewarded in that day in the temple. Chief among the blessings was hearing prophecies concerning their son. And chief among those prophecies is that Jesus was the glory of Israel, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Joseph and Mary marveled at what they heard. There's a little secret of growing in wisdom and grace in 2024. Never cease to marvel at this Jesus and what God has done through him. As often as you read the Bible, as often as you hear sermons and preaching and teaching, never cease to be filled with wonder and amazement over Jesus. For Mary, for Joseph, for us, God's word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path in this new year. Which is why, as I do every new year, to commend to you and challenge to you, as we did last week to pray and this week to be in God's word. Do you want this year to go well for you? Listen to God's word. Obey God's word. Fear God and love his word. Well, this is Joseph and Mary. Consider now these two senior saints, Simeon and Anna. For 400 years, there had been no word from the Lord, no word spoken by a prophet. There had been countless messiahs, self-proclaimed false messiahs. There were political and economic and military saviors. There were dozens of them, if not hundreds, in those 400 years till this time. And you know, it's no different today. It's just like today. Olympia and Washington, D.C. are filled with saviors. People promising to make our lives better, to improve everything, to make it all good. And we believe them. You Republicans believe the Republican messiahs. You Democrats believe the Democratic messiahs. And whatever the rest of them are, believe those messiahs. And there's countless messiahs. People promising all manner of things. I'm reminded of the old words of Samuel Johnson. Schemes of political improvement are laughable things. And they ought especially to be for Christians. Imagine being told by the Holy Spirit that before you die, you would see the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed true Messiah. Imagine that promise being fulfilled and Simeon saying, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And what was he seeing? What was he holding? He was holding a baby. What kind of salvation was that? He's living in a country that is under the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire, and he's living in a
country that also is under the oppressive godless religious authorities and the oppression that that brings, what kind of consolation of Israel is this? The only kind we need. As his name says, he will save us from our sins. In this election year, do what the righteous do and keep your eyes on Jesus. He is our hope and our salvation. Now, back in the Old Testament, Scripture says, by the mouth of two witnesses is a matter established. It takes two witnesses to establish the truth of a matter. These two senior saints are God's two witnesses establishing this matter, that this baby is the one true Messiah and Savior. So we're told about Simeon, a righteous and devout man, a man under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and Anna, an 84-year-old widow who is constantly in the temple worshiping, praying, fasting. These are two eternal souls captivated by the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, who take seriously the means of God's grace. You know that phrase, the means of grace? What are the means of grace? What are the gifts that God gives to us by which his grace comes to us, comes through them to us? There are many. Scripture, prayer, worship, sacraments, doing good works, serving, giving, loving, sharing. Do you know people like Simeon and Anna? Do you have any influences in your life like them? These are people who don't talk about reading the Bible. They don't talk about praying. They do it. You know them by who they are and what they do, not necessarily by their words. They knew scriptures and they prayed. That's what waiting looks like for saints, especially as we get older and as we anticipate that day. Scripture and prayer. And in this, God fills our minds and our hearts with knowledge and wisdom concerning him. And this leads to hope. Hope leads to desire, which gives birth to prayer and an earnest calling out to God for all the things that he has promised. And so here's Simeon and Anna. They knew the word. They loved it. They delighted in God's promises. And the evidence is seen in their faith and in their confidence. This is why Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is the reward I seek. This is the reward I earnestly pray for you. This is the reward for this new year. Where are they today who long for and wait for the final consolation of Israel, of the world? Where are the men and women like these two, self-denying, prayerful, devout, full of faith, anxiously awaiting the coming of Jesus? Where are those who long for Jesus more than who will be the next president? Who think more about moving closer to God rather than moving to another state? Who hunger and thirst for righteousness more than for politics? This is the world that Jesus came into. A world filled with politics. A world filled with saviors, messiahs. Jesus. Well, let me conclude. The single most important person in the universe is God. And the single most important thing you can do every week is worship God. There's nothing else in your life more important. Every Sunday morning when you wake up, there should be no question, no hesitation, no doubt, no debate, no waffling, no wavering, no hesitation. As I like to say sometimes, you should in that moment decide not to go to church. You should decide to go to worship, to come and worship the living God. Tell your kids, we're not going to church today. We're going to worship. To worship the only living God of the universe and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our only Savior, for the sake of our souls. Here's two spirit-filled worshipers, an old man and an old woman, who are forever honored by God and held up as examples to us. I'm going to spend more time with Anna tonight in the sermon. So we'll return to her. But would you like a revelation from God? Would you like to see Jesus before you die with the eyes of your heart enlightened, with the eyes of faith? Now, Joseph and Mary, they had a plan. They knew the time. They knew the place to be for God's blessing. And it's that simple. If we would do the same, to have a time and a place and a plan. When it comes to Scripture, we've set that before you. Get a time, what time works best for you, and maybe a little earlier in the morning than we usually do. And get a place that's quiet, that's free from distractions, preferably one that doesn't have any screens in it, no matter how big they might be. Get a plan. Where are you going to start? We've put one before you with starting with Matthew and reading through the New Testament. We've given you some guidance for an app to do that, if that will help. And if that plan doesn't work, then get your own plan. I sometimes say to one who's just starting out, start with the Gospel of John and then just keep going. And consider memorizing the short passages of Scripture that I put out each month that come to you in the bulletin. Consider doing it as part of your family time or family devotions or at meal times. You can't do any of this if you're just living on the run, going full tilt into all the concerns of this life, giving yourself over to the things of this world, filling your mind up with whatever it is you might be reading or doing or YouTube or TikTok or countless distractions. What did I call it a few weeks ago? These weapons of mass distraction. They're just all around us. What are you feeding your soul? And is it feeding your soul or is it depleting your soul? Wear your Bibles out. Cultivate a hunger and thirst for God's Word. In the words of Jude, dear friends, build yourself up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Like Simeon and Anna, as you wait, take God's Word to heart. Put your hope and trust in the promises of God. In this uncertain and dark and unsettled world, in a world where your heart can be pierced, as Mary's would be, this is the sure and certain light. Lay hold of God. Be a Jacob and wrestle with God for his blessing. Persevere. Devote yourself to this. Go hard after God. And as you pray, would you pray for me and pray for our leaders here that it would be true of us? This is the greatest need in leadership today. Not just in our church, but in the world, of course. But we need men and women with a great hunger and thirst for God and his word and for prayer. I mean, what's the point of leadership if it isn't God-centered and God-seeking and biblically grounded and prayer-soaked? Who wants to follow leaders that aren't doing that? God wants us to know him. As Ephesians 1 says, to have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, to see truly great things this year, the hope of our calling, the riches of our inheritance, and the immeasurably great power of God that is at work in us. So give yourself to God afresh. Give yourself to his word and prayer. Give yourself to seeking and seeing the salvation of your souls. In this there will be great reward. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, we ask you this morning to bless our seeking of you. Would you give us a deeper hunger and thirst for righteousness and fan the flame of our zeal, Lord, and grant in our brokenness, grant in our imperfection, grant in our finiteness and flesh, that we would desire the fullness of Christ. Help our unbelief and forgive our wandering affections. Deliver us from our such small desires and our foolish pursuits. Help us to hunger and thirst for you, and help us as parents and grandparents to instill a love for your word and a hunger for you. I pray for your fatherly blessing upon this flock. Make us faithful and fruitful for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. To join us for a time of fellowship downstairs, and then 6 o'clock this evening as we consider Anna in more depth. And now receive God's blessing. Now may the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and whatever you do in word or deed, may you do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Amen and amen.